Okay, I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, Bet Online, our exclusive wagering partner. Bet Online, of course, where you get all your action on NFL football, NBA basketball, and Bet Online AG is the place you want to go. More options to wager than anywhere else online. So online today, take advantage of all the great midseason bonuses, offers, and contests. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Use the code CLNS50 when you go to betonline.ag. Once again, betonline.ag, code CLNS50 to get you 50% off your initial deposit. So we got Josue, we got Bobby. Sherrod not available tonight. He's recording one of his podcasts, so we're going to hang with you guys and chat for a little bit. As always, request to speak, and then when we put you on stage, just hang out on mute for a little bit, and we will get to you, I swear. Celtics offseason officially begins, so there's a lot to talk about. A lot of stuff we've already talked about, but I am curious if anybody has any like new opinions on what they should do. I feel like the Beal stuff's been all over the map. We've definitely cooled a little bit on Lillard. Or the Lillard stuff is cooled, so I don't know if that's legit. So I want to see where people's heads are at. So again, line up the speaker request. I'm not seeing them now. So if you guys, has anybody requested to speak yet? Because sometimes it takes a little while for those to load. Let's see here. Oh, we got one. I got Bobby's in here. Hey, Bobby, you got me?
Yep. I'm
here. We're lining up our requests, which is good that we saw them. Talking Celtics offseason. And also want to let everybody know who was, if you joined us on the YouTube show, JL Coven and Amit, you can put some of those links in the chat throughout the show. Great comedian, the best Trump impersonator alive. Doing a stand-up bit in Boston at the City Winery on Monday. We're all going to be there. There's still a few tickets available, mostly sold out, but there's definitely a few. It's an awesome spot. He's wildly funny, and all of us knuckleheads are going to be there, so you can come hang out with us as well if you want to. Definitely check that out. And yes, there, Amit just put it in the chat, so go check that out. Ore just asked a question, so I'm going to ask, who does Tremont Waters think he is? That's a great freaking question. Tremont Waters following N'Keal Harry's lead and talking about wanting a bigger role when he hasn't done shit as a professional, maybe even more so because Tremont isn't even – N'Keal's at least a first-round pick, so he might have some reason to puff out his chest. I don't know what Tremont Waters is talking about, but he's about to get yammed. That's for sure.
That is true.
Yeah, he's about to get yammed anyway. Bobby, what are you doing? You're making some haddock?
No, I'm here.
Okay, cool. So, Bobby, what's on your mind right now as we wait for people to kind of jump in here on the request side? We wait for Josue to join us.
Yeah, I mean, Waters is probably gone. I think that was kind of a weird rollout to that news because, like, that's probably something everyone would have thought was happening anyway. But once it finally got, like, put on the record that, like, oh, and Waters is looking for something else, like, it's like, Waters is demanding a trade. But yeah, he's on a two-way deal. He's making, like, $70,000 a year. He should be looking for a different spot.
He should be just thrilled to be employed, not looking for a different spot. If the Celtics will continue to employ you, you say thank you. If they won't, then you fight like hell to make another opportunity, but you don't go ask for another opportunity because you've done nothing to even earn the one that you currently have. So it is a little audacious, I think, to be, you know, saying when you say you need a new opportunity, you're suggesting that you haven't been given your rightful shot here. Has Tremont Waters done anything that leads you to believe that he should have played more here?
No, definitely not here.
No. Yeah, so I don't think so. Once again, guys, jump in with your speaker requests if you want to join the conversation. Celtics offseason.
Tremont Waters. Unbelievable.
Celtics offseason. Again,
I don't even know.
Go ahead, Bobby.
Like, was he good or bad for a two-way player? I know there's been some – like that guy out in L.A., what was his name? The guy with the Mexican heritage there. I can't think of his name.
Toscano.
No, I'm Golden State. Toscano. That was like a
Golden
that was
State,
a
yeah.
grand
Yerba Kafiri, yeah,
slam.
Golden
How do you
State.
forget a man named Toscano?
Yes, Juan Toscano.
Yeah.
He was electric, but there's been a few steals on two-way deals, but for the most part, Waters is kind of what you expect out
You
of a
get you
two-way
get what
guy.
you get what you pay for.
Right. And plus it's such a there's so many great point guards in the NBA. It's like, dude, do you really think like that was the move right there? I mean, Kemba Walker's not there. Yeah, sure, something's probably gonna go out and grab another point guard, but like if they brought you back on a two-way or if they bring you back in any capacity, like that's a good thing, you know? And regardless of what happens, you're gonna be able to showcase yourself in summer league. So why not put this on ice for a little bit until you know you have a sure thing out there? I don't know. I just thought it really surprised me that he
Well,
would
here's what
get
they've
out in
shown.
front of all of this as if he's like, you know, an everyday player.
Yeah.
What they should probably learn out of that experience is to swap guys out a little more rapidly. And I thought this about some of the real roster spots too. If you want to find a Parker type, bring him in. That was a great move, I thought, to try to find a guy with a maybe some upside in this situation that was in prison in other spots. That's what you want to do with those two-way deals. So Waters is gone. Honestly, Taco should probably be gone too, if we're being honest about it.
How are you going to do that when Jimmy's not even here
Would
to
Jimmy be fighting me on
Jimmy's
that?
not even here to defend Taco?
I mean, haven't we seen what Taco is this
Yeah,
one season? You want to see something new?
you don't have to sell me on this. I'm all done. I'm all set.
John just wanted you to. He just wanted to hear Jimmy's reaction to
Yeah,
that. That's it.
I want Jimmy to defend it, but I'm all set.
I
I
think I've
mean,
said that
like I
to
said,
you before.
Bobby, we made this pretty. I made this pretty clear last year. You've got obviously Jalen, Jason, Marcus, Rob. At this point, Al. Then it's Pritchard, Nesmith, Romeo, and I don't give a crap if everybody else retired. There's nobody else. We're like, oh, we definitely need this guy back. And obviously that includes Tristan. We got to figure out what's going on with that too. That's something we haven't really talked about. He has to go. We just don't know how that's going to happen. But I'll take what's funny is I want Grant on the team. I just want Grant to be your 10th player. I just don't want Grant playing 19, 20 minutes a game. I want him playing Kaminsky minutes, 9 and 10 minutes a game. That's it. But otherwise, I think he could be useful. But that's it. Semi, Taco. I don't think those guys are not NBA players.
Yeah, roster spots can be
Tremont.
valuable. Either finding new guys and giving guys new opportunities or, having some flexibility with those spots.
Find your Jeff Teagues, but make them work for you. Make them Bobby Portis's. Like whatever it is. Like again. You can fill some holes there with some veterans and have it work. It just didn't work for the Celtics last year. Get some real NBA players in here. Like it's, if you don't have people who have, bench stash players, like what are you waiting for Taco to evolve into? Nothing. So he's useless. Like he's not going to be useful for you ever.
Boban Bogdanovic.
You've seen enough of what Shemi is. He's not useful. He's not going to be any more than
He also can't be the inevitable,
Giannis
or
level?
the, no, he can't be the never-ending two-way guy. You only get 3 years with a guy on a two-way contract, so even if you did bring him back this year on a two-way deal, he'd be done after that year, and there's probably not a roster spot for him, and there's probably not enough opportunity for those guys to break through. Taco's gotten his chance here or there. He really hasn't as much as Waters has. Waters has definitely gotten his chance to break through and hasn't been able to do it. If Taco's back, it's not the end of the world to me, but I'd like to see some fresh bodies in here next year in training camp and kind of not a massive overhaul of this roster, but quite a few guys coming in next year who are undrafted, unproven guys, or guys that didn't work in other spots who, are kind of pushing for their chance in this league and, aren't the comfortable semi types who, have had 4 or 5 years shots at this and just haven't been able to, translate it into anything other than what they've been at this point. I thought it was a
I do
mistake
need
last year to
to.
bring semi back.
Yeah, me too. I agree. Can I do want to ask people here. Has anybody requested to speak? And if so, just put it in the chat. because sometimes I don't see requests, and if so, I might have to log out and back in. So if you've if you've requested to speak and your hand is raised, just put it in the chat and let me know. And if not, jump on in whenever you guys are ready. Go ahead, Josue.
No, I was just going to say, I think that's what happens to me sometimes. I'm sending you my request and it doesn't come through.
Sometimes it's not coming through, yeah. Yeah, continue your conversation, guys. I'm just going to kind of fiddle around here and see if I can get the...
I mean, last offseason, you were ready to just sell off on Shemi? I mean, I don't know. I just feel like he's one of those guys before the season started. You're like, yeah, let's see what happens. And now, going into this upcoming season, I can see why if you want to cut ties, I guess.
Well, you had a guy in O'Shea Brissett, a Syracuse guy, who was cast off by Toronto, a wing, size, stuff, you know, Semi brought to the table but didn't actualize on. And ultimately, Indiana picks that guy up. They get a little thin at the wing like the Celtics were early in the season, and they gave him a shot, and he charged them into that play-in game and got them a win in one of those play-in games. And, you know, he was dropping 20, 30 points every game at the end of the year, which is something Semi's never done. This was Ainge's big mistake as GM, and this is where you'd actually like to see Brad diverge a little bit. You take some swings on guys, you miss sometimes. You don't marry them for 4 or 5 years and just keep hoping and hoping and hoping that they break through. Guys blow in and out of this league like nothing. So if a Semi doesn't work or he starts to regress, if Grant starts heading in that direction, you know, you can even argue at this point that Grant has kind of missed his shot here if they get some better options. So, like, I am all for, and I think Sharada said this too, completely overhauling this bench. And you know what? I'll give Langford that next shot too, because all the things John has said and others that, like, he really hasn't gotten a full run here at a season. But if you give another year to him and he's just nothing again, like, all of a sudden you've probably missed some other opportunities to pick up some undrafted young guys with some upside. Like, these, like, you know.
Yeah, but Bobby, you'll always have those opportunities. Bobby, you always. This thing is, you always have those opportunities.
Who dropped the ball?
No, you lose nothing. You lose nothing in giving him the shot. You have to do it. It's a return on investment. You're getting zero return on investment if you don't at least see what you've got. Because, again, we've been over this. Trade value is zero. So if you sell him off now, it's pennies on the dollar.
I agree with that.
The only thing you have to do right now is you have to see if they have something. And if they don't, that happens. Like, it's okay to miss on the 14th, 15th pick in the draft. Like, half those guys don't pan out. It is what it is. You just got to see if you. We got Ore in the chat. Ore, jump on in, buddy.
What's good, Ore?
What's up, guys?
What's happening?
What's up, guys? Nothing much. I listened to you guys on YouTube talking about the Lillard and Beal situation. Me personally, like, I'm not really a fan of either. Like, I just don't see how any of those moves really makes the Celtics that much better. At best, you get marginally better, and that's a big maybe. Like, I'm just not sold on. Agreed that Damian Lillard is like a top 10 player in the league right now, but with him being 31, and you're gonna have to pay him 30 plus million for the next like 4 or 5 years probably, and Jalen is what, like 24 years old, and clearly got to the level he's at way quicker than anybody expected, and some of us probably never even expected him to even reach this level in the first place, and he's gonna continue to grow. Like, I just don't see it. And there was another thing you said, John, where it's like, it's good to have a big three when they all have different strengths, but like having three guys that almost have the same exact strength just isn't really gonna make you that much better.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, you know, I that's where I keep going around in it. We've been all over the place, admittedly, and like I like to have a stance and kind of stick with it, but I can't settle my mind on where I want to go with a Lillard Beal situation, but the more I think about it, that's kind of where I am, or kind of where you are. I don't know that it makes him better. I think there are guys that do the same things. I think Lillard costs you Brown, and it doesn't make sense. I think Beal does not cost you Brown, but it costs you everything else. So those three have to do it all because you're not going to be able to really supplement them with anything around them. I don't know. I just wish they were in a better situation roster wise right now. You know, you wish you had a Bridges on your roster instead of a Neesmith. You'd feel so much better there, right? You know, like you, not stars, but just different players. And you'd feel better about riding it with Tatum and Brown. You just don't have that. So you're kind of stuck. You got to play the guys you have, but you're not necessarily in love with them. But the chance of getting other players is small. So, like,
you're boxed in a little bit. Right, you're boxed in a little bit, and you're still not sure if that's even a championship team. I mean, I would love to see Tatum and Lillard play alongside one another, but does that get them past Brooklyn? Does that get them past Milwaukee? I mean, we don't know. Maybe, but when you're putting up – when you're taking that kind of a risk, it's got to be more of a sure thing. And I love Dame Lillard's game. You know, this trade a few years ago, man, I probably would do it. But like you said, over 31, it's got a lot of miles on that car. And that car relies on a lot of, you know, a lot of weaving and cutting and driving and just the way he goes about scoring. It makes me think, how many years does he have left that he can put it at this level, right? That he can play at this level before that one injury, you know, put you in. And if you're the Celtics coming off of Kemba Walker, I mean, like, you could really embarrass yourself, right? Like, you could really embarrass yourself in 2 years down the road. Something like that happens, or even, you know, 1 year into it, and you're thinking that you still need one piece, and then the big piece that you traded for goes down. Like, that's just not ideal.
So here's the context of this is going to matter, obviously, because I think, you know, the thing that everyone put out there at first was, all right, can you just swap Lillard and Brown? Like, it'd be a straight swap. In that case, and I don't think that's what it would be, it's really hard to say no, because Lillard's just so much better than Brown.
Like, what, you mean for Beal?
You're just talking about a guy who's – no, let's say it was just Brown for Lillard, straight up. Like, how could you say no to that?
I mean, for the things I just said. Like, I don't know, man.
But it is very hard to say no to, Bobby. You're right.
Because Jalen's on such a different time frame. But, yeah.
At some point, you got to evaluate, like, how long are you going to have Brown? You know, how good can Brown become? And the fit on the roster, obviously, too. And you have a hole on the roster at point guard, and this is that best possible point guard that you could ever imagine acquiring. So in terms of fit, like level and standing in the league, and, you know, just in terms of, like, building the team out a little bit, because this isn't like a rental. He'd be here till 23, 24 or so.
Right.
It's so hard for me to say no to this Lillard thing. And, again, I am – the biggest Brown guy ever. Like, Brown's my favorite Celtic, and I think his potential is immense. But at some point, you do have to say, like, what's going to be the route to a championship here? And I think Lillard, Tatum, and the role pieces around them, you know, hopefully Smart would be able to be involved in that scenario too. That could realistically be a championship team. And this run it back thing is... like, I think run it back is the least likely of any scenario to get the Celtics to a championship eventually.
It's the least likely to get them to the championship, but you're again, I think we're just obsessed with quick fixes.
Because look what's happened before, John. That's why.
I know.
Right. Yeah, we're obsessed. Because we're coming from the Kyrie trade. Who the hell saw that coming? We're coming from seeing the Kemba Walker trade. Who saw that coming? Like, yeah, we're obsessed with that.
You want to see.
But wasn't the Kyrie trade the right – I know this is kind of divisive still, but wasn't the Kyrie trade the right idea?
Of course it was.
Of course it was, Bobby, but no one saw that coming. No one saw
you do that 100 out of 100 times. 100 out of 100 times. Everybody does it. But it's less about that. It's more about when you have all of those assets, you could do big things. You can't do it anymore. There is no magic bullet. So you don't – and you can't just say, well, shit. Danny or Brad, do the things to make him a contender next year. It's not an option. What you can hope for is progress. So what you have is, and again, the best thing you have to get yourself better is a year of Jalen and Jason continuing to grow. Robert Williams taking a leap. You know, hopefully, if you want to stay with this team, you probably need to re-sign Fournier. You need to make smart veteran adjustments, and you need growth from the kids. You need Neesmith, Romeo, and Pritchard to be competent rotation-level NBA players. And you can't have the talent drop-off be from Jason Tatum to below replacement level guy on the second unit. Like, that swing is too wild to sustain. You know, you can't have guys who are fringe NBA players playing significant minutes like they did last year with Grant and Semi. You can't have it.
I would be more bought in on the Brown and Lillard swap if our end of the bench players were much better. If those were guys like Mikal Bridges, you know, PJ Tucker, Jay Crowder, like, I would be more bought in. But like John said, like, that talent drop off, like, if you were to make that swap, it's so big that it's like, that's not going to make you much better if you're going to have to go up against teams like the Bucks and the Nets when the talent gap is that big. So that's mainly why, because I just feel like the roster construction wouldn't be good if you had to do that.
Yeah, and so you have to see if those guys are good, and you got to be smart and fill in the blanks with, you know, smart, savvy veteran pickups, you know, your mid-levels, your TPEs, you know, whatever loose change you've got in the couch, and you got to get the right guys that fit, you know, what you need. So I am a little, you know, they're going to have to get creative.
Damian Lillard, the last few years, has been bordering on an MVP candidate.
He has.
I mean, this isn't a chump coming in. And I know, like, the things Josue mentioned are real. That's the real risk you're talking about there. But in terms of just the talent gap between Brown and Lillard, it's sizable there.
Yeah, but Bob, and, you know, what
31's
you're
not 36.
What Ore was saying, and what you kind of hint at, is if Lillard declines 2 to 5% next year, and Brown increases 2 to 5%, their gap is almost is negligible. You know what I mean? It's not. You're looking at right now, but if Lillard, who now we're hearing has been battling kind of nagging injuries, this and that, and is 31, literally dips even a little bit, and Brown improves, you're in the same ballpark of player. Okay, you're not going it's not a whole tier drop from one to the next, as it might appear that it is today. So there's risk involved there.
But then you're
stuck
with damaged goods. You know?
Not damaged goods as much as you're catching a guy on the back nine versus a guy who's still got room for improvement. And like I said, it's going to happen eventually. In 3 years, you'll be like, shit, I wish we still had Jalen. And that's fine if it got you a title. One, I don't know that it gets you a title. Two, it's not far off from Jalen being an all-around equal to or more valuable player than Lillard. Like, it's not unfathomable. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's not beyond the realm of possibility. It's not automatic, you know, that you're like, right, well, I obviously got the better player. You know, you don't know that for sure. So
that's how I fell in certain spots.
It's risky.
Yeah, so, yeah, I feel that way about Beal. And I've always felt that way about Beal when we talked about Brown-Beal swaps. Like, Brown could easily be Beal, but could Brown be Lillard?
Lillard's on a different planet, but again, Lillard and Tatum are so freaking similar in the sense of, like, their strength is in making ridiculously difficult contested shots. How many of those guys do you need? Like, it's good, it's cool, but, like, it just becomes a my ball, your ball offense worse than it
was. Yeah, and ultimately, like, again, I don't have the specifics here. Because, again, I don't think Lowry's coming. And, you know, Brogdon, you have to, like, really see, like, an Indiana collapse come together for them to get involved in something like that. But, and you mentioned this during the show, John, if you can find, like, a really high-level point guard to complement Brown, Tatum, and, like, bring this thing together a little bit here, that's ultimately what you'd like to pour, like, you know, what Milwaukee just did, 5 first-round picks in their Holiday, and, like, just solidify that. But those options aren't out there, and you already let this Harden opportunity pass. I know you're still fine with that, but that could have solved a lot of issues last year. And now all of a sudden, maybe a Lillard opportunity comes, and you pass up on that too, and you're just kind of waiting and waiting and waiting for this thing to come together. It gets, you know, you have time here, but you don't have forever. And you're seeing opportunities come where you really have that guy in Brown to, you know, find a all NBA guy, you know, shoo-in all NBA guy playmaker who can maybe raise the ceiling of this team. And every opportunity you pass, it's like, I still look at that Harden one and I'm like, what could have been?
Let me bring in No Cap, who was on Twitter with us earlier today, talking specifically about kind of that going all in thing, and making the move for that. That was you, right? No Cap, you tweeted about going big.
I thought you called me an idiot.
No, I didn't. You said idiot.
You
said you got to do something, idiot, and I just
right. You got to pay to play.
Pay to play. Yeah. And so, like, you know, the holiday thing that Bobby just mentioned, No Cap was on Twitter earlier and tagged us all and threw that out there that, like, look, they went for it. What's funny is, and again, this is why I don't buy all in on, you know, them winning. I said it during the show, like, they did, but Holiday had a couple of games where he was 1-for-11. You know, he had a couple of big games too, but a couple breaks go their way differently. People would be saying, like, Jesus, they way overspent on Holiday. So I don't know that this definitively proves that it was the right move, but being bold, you know, is a thing that you do want to see people do, you know, and in this case, it paid off. I always want my GMs to be bold, or my coaches, and to have conviction. And if they're wrong, well, then you fire them because it's their job to be right. But like, that's how it works. NBA, what you don't want is paralysis. You don't want people to just sit back and let shit happen and watch other people make the moves and then just shrug your shoulders and say, well, the deal wasn't there for us, or, well, we tried. That shit, of all the things with Danny, that's the one thing that's going to drive me more nuts than anything in the world. All of this, oh, we were so close. That shit makes me want to scream. Like, do it or don't.
It was always the excuse.
The cost doesn't matter. It's not like, if you want the thing, go fucking get it. Don't say, I just couldn't get there. Just get there. If you want it, get it. And he didn't do it enough.
I totally agree. I was going to say, Bobby was talking about the whole trading for Dame. But I wouldn't do it at his age. He's 31, and I think maybe he has maybe 2 or 3 good years left. But if you pair him and Tatum together, you're still not going to win a championship. You're not beating the Nets if they're healthy. Okay? And then you might not get past the Bucks for real. They do have a big three. All right, so moving on from Kemba, you could potentially sign Beal. I mean, and you don't have to give up Jaylen. I mean, that's really the best option. Brogdon is not the player everybody think he is. I watch a lot of Pacers games, and he's just not. And I really feel like that's the best move, is to try to get Beal. And I really do think that he wants to play with Tatum.
I agree with that. I agree with that for sure. I think that's the move. I mean,
and it doesn't cost you Brown.
Have to do. Exactly. That's part of it. But also, they have to make sure that they got to, you know, line their ducks in a row. I mean, obviously, to make the money work, but also the culture. Like, what's Beal walking into? I don't want this to be one of those where it's like, oh, you know, we're kind of doing this on the fly here, and we got to figure this out. No. He's got to walk into an already established culture.
Too late. If he comes here, he's waiving all contingencies. He's waiving the inspection. And he just, you're coming in as is.
But I think that's what happens if you try to trade for him right now, because of course that's what would happen. You would essentially trade away Jaylen Brown, but getting him as a free agent, you have a year with Ime, you know, sort of instilling the way we're going to do things here, you know, the new guy on the block or whatever. And now you're putting Beal in a situation where it's like, look, man, this is it. This is your chance to compete now. You know, this isn't like, yeah, we got a little things to figure out here, but we're going to fit you right in. We're going to plug you right into this. This shouldn't take much. You know, it shouldn't be a long transition period. You know, I think that's going to be what's most important, you know, if and when that happens, because if that doesn't happen, then we're back at wondering when they're going to be able to figure it out. You know, it's an interesting spot the Celtics are in right now. But again, I can't say that enough about instilling this culture and just getting everyone on the same page.
To be able to lose all they have and feasibly be the favorite next destination for Beal, we kicked that around during the year and we're like, is Tatum enough to draw that? And now it feels like it really is. So that's great. It's not a bad thing that they're in the position to do this. I just think they're in an awkward stage where all of a sudden Beal almost becomes that Davis figure Like in 2019, that you're just looking ahead at this thing, and all of a sudden you have guys here that kind of need to be accounted for right now. You have a whole season ahead that you have to do something with here. And if you don't, like, who knows what becomes of this situation if they have like another 7 seed type year. So, like, how do you placate Smart with that extension? Like, are you paying Fournier? Are you letting him go to clear space when it could be a huge detriment to this year's team? I think that's going to be a really tough thing to navigate for them. And then on top of that, like, you know, I know John's not going to like Rob possibly be letting go through all of this. Like, what are you going to have left for these three guys at the end of this? Romeo and Grant? Like, I think that team's going to be the most thin super team we've ever seen, maybe even more thin than the Heat, because that was LeBron. Are guys coming to play with Tatum, Brown, and Beal? I don't know if you can count on the same massive veterans coming in. No,
it's not the same.
Beal's your Dwayne Wade. There you go.
It's not the same.
No?
Yeah. There's no question about it. Like, it's different. You're not like – they don't have that type of gravity. So it would be tough.
I actually would like to keep Smart and Rob around somehow and find a third piece a different way. But, again, if Beal's your only path to find that third piece, I guess you kind of have to go down that path because this core isn't getting it done. Smart, Tatum, and Brown, I don't think could ever win a – I don't want to never say never, but I don't think that core could win a championship.
I think the Beal thing, honestly, like I said a couple shows ago, is happening.
I just don't know what it is.
And I don't know what happens. I'd like to think
Patty Mills.
You cross that bridge when you get
there. I'm hoping you can sign Rob on the cheap and still make it work, not on the cheap, but on a decent deal. And then I don't care about anything else. Cause like I said, you've got Pritchard, Romeo, and Neesmith on cheap contracts. And that's it. And then you're just kind of nickel and dime your way to the rest of your roster. I'm fine with that. Losing Rob would hurt me.
John, I think we know what the Celtics think about Rob. You know, like they like the fact that he's got potential here and everything, but is he a building block going forward? I think they have serious doubts about that. And then ultimately, when it gets to Smart, you're gonna flip out Beal for Smart. That's kind of obvious. So, like, I do kind of see the line of thinking here that, you know, you're willing to lose a Horford, Smart. Like, think about, like, a trade. Would you trade Smart, Rob, and Horford to Beal? That's kind of what they'd be going with there. But, you know, you need your young guys to come through to have any level of depth at that point. So that's why, like, this bridge aspect this year is so important. And that's why it's – like, I vented to you about this the other day. Why is Grant not going to Summer League? Like, come on. Like, just because you're in your third year, you're too good for Summer League at this point?
Bro, babe.
Oh, my God. That's
he's got to meet up with his college buddies, Bobby. He's got to raise this summer, you know? He's got some catching up to do.
If
they resign all of them, will it eat up their cap, like, for them to sign Beal? If they resign Fournier, Rob, and
it
Smart,
would be hard.
Big time.
Especially Smart and Fournier.
Well, you would need the Wizards to want one or two of them back. That's the risk when you sign them, is when you go to make your trade, the other team has to want those pieces back. But if you're signing them, it's hard. Like, that would mean Washington would have to trade Beal here for matching contracts, but ones that you're stuck with for a decent amount of time. I think Fournier is easier to sign and move if it's larger money, shorter term. So if it's a 2-year and you wait a year on Beal, you could sign and trade, theoretically, Fournier because the team knows they're getting him on an expiring. But if he signed a 4-year deal, some other team's going to have to want that contract for 3 years plus at whatever the money is.
Yeah. If it gets to 3-4, it's probably not happening.
It's harder to do. So it's a risk because anybody you sign long term, there's a school of thought that people will say, sign them because they're assets. If you don't sign them, you lose the asset and you get nothing in return. That makes sense. But it is a gamble if your goal is to trade for someone. It makes sense if your goal is to, who knows what's going to happen. But if you have a target in sight and you need that money free in a year, and the only way to do it is to get people to accept trades for these guys, that's a risk. Because if Washington's like, no fucking way, then you've got a bit of a
I have another question too. So, like, assuming Beal comes here and it's the three of them,
Like, who's going to have to be the lesser version of themselves? Is it going to have to be Beal or Brown? Because we know Tatum's going to be the best player. So, like, who's going to have to be the lesser version of themselves to actually make it work? Because that's kind of why I'm kind of skeptical.
Brown. Well, they're all going to have to be big time on defense, that's for sure. I mean, I don't think any of them can be lacking on defense. But, yeah, well, with Brown, yeah, in theory, Joe Sway, just because Beal's probably better than those two at this point.
And Brown has the way to be in a – Brown has the capability – like I said, Brown needs to be more Butler in that scenario, yeah, which is to say be the elite defender and be – You know, just the more of an energy guy.
He needs to have a big bounce.
But do you guys think he wants to be that guy, though? Do you think he wants to?
Not at this age. That's another thing we talked about here. I still think Brown and the problem with like creating a big three scenario for Brown and Tatum is they're still young and still don't get it. You know,
like, can you blame them for feeling that way though? Like, especially with how, because we never even thought that Jaylen Brown could ever get to this point. And he's improved his game that much to where it's like he had to be a lesser version of himself when Gordon Hayward was here, when Marcus Morris was here. And then he has this year where he takes this leap, and then he's going to have to be a lesser version of himself again for Bradley Beal. So it's like all these years he's had to take a backseat for other people, and now that he's finally gotten his chance to show what he's really about, he's going to have to do that again. So it's like, could you even really blame him after all these years of having to be the guy that takes the back?
That's why I need Tatum and Brown to have that damn conversation, man. I need them to have mutual, not just the whole, oh yeah, we have mutual respect for each other. No, I want them to have mutual understanding of one another, because otherwise none of this crap.
What do they want? That's the thing. And again, we go over this on the, We've gone over this on our text thread a lot. Like, real talk, okay? What does Jason Tatum want? Would Jason Tatum have been happier, you know, being the second leading scorer in the league, first team All-NBA, with the team finishing at 500, or averaging 7 points per game less, not making the any of the three All-NBA teams, and the team reaching the conference finals? Which one would he be more satisfied with? I think I know what I think the answer is, but I don't know what you guys think the answer is.
I mean, the 7 degree kind of has to be who he is at the same time, though. Like, could Tatum be a Butler last year? Like,
what I'm saying is, it's a mindset. It's not a skill set. We know his skill set and how he impacts the game mainly is scoring. What we're saying is, Giannis can score too. You know, like, yes, he's 26 and Tatum's 22 or 23 or whatever the hell he is. Sure, he's got years on him, and so naturally he's more mature. But Giannis has always been this way. It's more of a mindset of winning, winning, winning. I got to do what it takes to win. Max effort, max effort. I don't know that Tatum has flipped that switch. I don't know where Brown is on it, because we saw, like we said, his defense take a step backward. They might be too young and too early in the revolution to be part of a super team or a dream team, because they're not ready to give back parts of themselves. They're still developing. They're still like becoming who they're going to become in the NBA. So like, it might just be too. So it's like you meet that perfect. I'm gonna do my girlfriend analogies, but you meet you meet that perfect girl, but you're 20 years old and in college, and you're still an idiot. You know, like if you met her 8 years, if you met her and she's perfect, yeah, and so you would marry her, but you can't because you're a friggin' drunken idiot and you're not ready for it. You know, like I don't know if they're ready for it. 8 years from now, you marry her. You know, like
Dave Chappelle's got a funny joke. He says, "Man, you got to save that chick for later in your life." I was like, "Yeah."
I don't think it's that they're not ready. I think they're more of a victim of being how good they are at their age. I disagree. I don't think it's that they're not ready. I just feel like they just haven't actually had a team built around them. Because I feel like if they had better end of the bench players, like I feel like we could have been a little bit better. I'm not excusing some of the
performances. You sound like them, Ori. That's what they think.
I'm not excusing some of Tatum's performances this year. He certainly has to take blame for some of those games where he didn't show effort. But what I'm saying is, I don't think it's more about them. I feel like they just need kind of a better team. Like I like Fournier, Rob, Smart, but I feel like if they had two or three better, more talented end of the bench guys, I feel like that.
Yes, those young guys.
Right, I feel like it would be that would be a better recipe. Like I don't.
No,
I'm right there with you. I just think they're a victim of being how good they are at their age.
Yeah, I think they thought that they could solve it through their own individual greatness, which was
that is
the
a
right
good
response.
Point. But no, but that's a good point
was,
though.
It was a reasonable response. Reasonable response to seeing again, John. Like, if you really dive into the film last year, like you can see Tatum like trying his ass off to like
they're trying
those passes around the like get it to Semi in the corner, get it to Grant, and it was just brick, brick, brick. And you see that all year long, and it's like, oh my lord, why am I passing up the shot at the basket? And then you know Tatum entered that mode at the end of the year where he was like, I'm going inside every single time. He started generating like 10 free throw attempts a game. He was having those 50-60 point games. He kind of was doing what he could to force the issue.
It's a fair point. They're they don't fully know exactly what it takes yet because all they know is I'm really good at basketball, so I'm going to do the things that I'm really good at. And if I do that really well, hopefully that leads to wins. It's not like they're thinking like I'm getting my 30 tonight. By no means. That's not what I think at all. It's just they only know what they know. They're still kind of early in their game. Jason Tatum is a scorer. He's trying to learn how to do other things on the fly. But you know, we gave him shit all year for not involving their teammates and then involving them too much. It was a tough situation. It's a tough critique of those guys. It really just is more of a factor of when it gets down to it, if they bring in a third star, are they ready to evolve or to change their games in whatever way necessary to like, are they ready to, can they do what it takes to make their teammates better? I don't know. We'll see. You saw Tatum try to do some of it. I see none of it from Jaylen at all. I don't think that's in his DNA. I don't think it's a selfish thing. I just don't think he's got innate playmaking ability. I think Tatum has it more so, but they need better stuff around them. There's no question about it.
Yeah, last year was rough. And, you know, the caveat to that is that once they got that Fournier piece, it still was kind of shaky, especially once you got into that playoff series against Brooklyn. But by that point, I think the wheels were just kind of off the ship. Like the seeds that were set by them rolling that team out that they did in December and the struggles that they went through after that and then just where everybody's mind went, I don't think there was any escaping that for the rest of the year, even as things got a little more stable down the stretch.
Honestly,
and that's kind of why the coach lost the room to some degree.
We still haven't gotten over double big, you know, and that,
oh my
that's
Lord,
what they,
that just
that's what they started the season with. My God, with that, oh, that was
Brad
that's
had
like,
such a
that
bad
was like 20 something game.
Yeah, Brad had such a bad year. We've already hashed that out on this app, but man, last year was just such a mess. Like it's almost impossible that they'll have a worse year next year, which is. I guess some of the positivity coming into it is that like there's no way it could go any worse. You're not the only
it is
the stuff. You're definitely going to add a player who can help at least.
It is
imagine.
Possible because you might be honestly, it's possible here. The reason it's possible is this: you could go from if you don't get big leaps from a lot of people, you could be without Fournier and Kemba next year. With granted, you know Kemba had his. Issues and wasn't playing back to backs, but he's still Kemba Walker. And
yeah, but
high
Horford helps.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, you're going. You could theoretically, you keep bleeding out high end NBA talent, and it's really hard to make up for it. Again, this is where that talent gap comes in. You can't keep losing a Kemba Walker and being like, "We'll be fine." It's you know. For all of his flaws, there's nothing close to Kemba Walker on that bench. The drop-off is enormous. The drop-off from Fournier to the next guy right now is enormous. So that's how it can get worse, is if they are truly in a hold, don't spend past the tax, hold the line and wait for Beal next year, it could actually get worse next year. That's the scary part, if you don't
oh,
get
no.
development.
bad news.
And that's another problem. Dude, I'm actually. Go ahead, Bobby.
You got breaking.
I'm actually learning this. I'm learning this from the CLNS Instagram page. Evan Turner will not be coming back to the Celtics coaching staff next year.
Yo, what Bobby, a shame. Do not, who cares?
Do not get all excited. Like, don't do that again.
Jesus Christ. Of course he's not.
Like a bomb just dropped, like Woj bomb or something. Jeez.
No, all the assistants are gone, Bobby. I forgot Evan Turner. I forgot Evan Turner was alive. Like, why would you?
He was supposed to be. He was supposed to be that player on the bench who was gonna really like figure out the room.
All right.
Oh my God.
Say, man. We apologize.
That was something. All right, Bobby, time out for you for a couple minutes. Who was talking? Was it Ore?
Yeah, Ore, yeah.
And, guys, a couple more calls after this. We're going to wrap it. But, yeah, Ore, were you saying something?
Yeah. So, like, yeah, like you said, I mean, I agree with what you had to say, but I just disagreed with the fact – I disagreed with the fact that when you said that you don't think they're – I think they are ready. I just feel like they just need a better roster. You know, built around them. And, like, I feel like Jalen, like, he's always had to take a back seat, you know, to other people. So, like, if he's not ready to do that, I can't blame him.
Can you imagine, look, again, this is, we beat up on Tatum a little bit because the expectations are, I want him to be Kevin Durant. I don't want him to be a third or fourth team All-NBA type talent because they're not going to win unless he becomes a top 10 player. So, yes, expectations are hard. Can you imagine anything coming out of Tatum's mouth similar to what Giannis has been saying throughout the finals and throughout all of this stuff in terms of sacrifice, his teammates, leadership, humility, and all of these things? Like, just in terms of mindset, does Tatum have that mindset to be the alpha on a win?
I think
who
he
said
does.
No? No cap?
Yeah, I said no. No, I do not think he has that at all.
I think he does. I just feel like him and, like, Giannis is probably one of the most humble players
Unreal.
In the NBA,
yeah.
For sure. But, like, I think Tatum has it. I just feel like he's not outwardly expressive about it.
And that could be
like
it.
Other people. Like, I think, like, with the things he's, like, with the things I've seen him say, like, I just feel like he thinks it, and he's going to show it to you, like, when he plays, but he's not going to be that rah-rah guy that's going to outwardly express it to you and, like, take every chance he gets to tell you that he's that guy. Like, I feel like he's going to think it, and maybe behind closed doors he's probably going to say that to other people, but, like, he's not going to, like, be that type of outward – he's not going to say it out to everybody for, like, to be – he's not that type of guy.
It's less say it. It's more, again, I know, you know, the defense is he's asked about it. What's he supposed to do? But, you know, we've had a couple of times we've had interviews where he hasn't said the things you'd want to hear him say about, like, next year and the team and this and that. And again, we're still talking about all NBA and the stats. And I know he's being asked there, but it's like, I don't give a shit. Let the media say you should have made all NBA. Don't whine about it yourself. Say things like, I don't give a crap about that. We were a 500 team. That's the only thing that matters. That's kind of what you want to hear your lead superstar saying. Not saying, look at my assist rate. It went up. I don't care, Jason. I don't care. I don't care, and I don't want you to say it. Even if you think it, and even if you're right, and he might be. Just say, dude, we were freaking 500. Why would anybody vote? If I'm the best player on this team and this is the best we could do, I obviously didn't do my job. That's what you want to hear him say. And then let everybody else in the Celtics media and all the fans say, wow, what a humble superstar. He totally did get robbed for all NBA. But don't talk about it yourself. That's all. Things right. like that. Those are things you want to see from a leader is talk and act like a leader. Portray yourself a little bit as much. You know, everyone here on the chat are saying Jalen's kind of got that it factor. Definitely. You want to see a little bit more from Tatum. I don't think it's just being demonstrative and being rah-rah. I think it's being sulky, flailing your arms all the time with the refs. And a lot of superstars do that. He's not the only one. A ton of people do it. But it's just, you just want to see him act more like the guy, you know, I don't know.
I think that's a fair point. Like, and this last thing is, like, one thing I've learned about him is that he's going to give, like, the cliche, like, media answers. He's not going to give you, like, anything different or anything like deep. He's going to give you like the typical media answers that you expect to hear. So like when he does like media interviews, I don't really expect anything different than what he gives us in the in those post game interviews, because that's just who he is. But like I can understand why you would feel that way, but yeah, it's a fair criticism.
I like this answer he had on Team USA. It's actually pretty good. You know, like you're right, he's not a great quote, but in terms of like them figuring it out, which I think matters, because you know we saw a lot of the same issues on the Celtics that have been issues on the Team USA, you know, coincidentally or not. But, you know, after they lost to Nigeria, he said, moving, passing, the one guy, letting him do his thing. We have a lot of great isolation players. But in this deal, we're going to have to play together and figure out what works best for certain guys out there and getting other guys easy shots instead of for ourselves. And then on Sunday, you know, he went out there and had a really good game, I thought, that was focused on facilitating. You know, it wasn't him bringing the ball up the floor, but he was using his leverage in the post and doing other things to get guys other shots. So, like, I think
he's in the cool kids club over there. He's in the cool kids club over there.
But, you know, he was playing with Keldon. Like, you know, it's not Bradley Beal anymore. It's Keldon Johnson. And he is just finding shot after shot for this guy, Keldon Johnson, and getting him. I think he had 16 points in that game. So, you know, if you got a Keldon Johnson in the corner instead of Semi, a whole world of difference last year, and you know, you'd have more of a sustainable product. That one hurt a lot of people, that guy went 29 in the Romeo
and again
Grant
to draft. Clarify the Jason stuff, it's less about, and again everyone's all aggrieved over this, oh my god, they're saying bad things about Jason, that it's not that, okay? It's after Tatum has one of those games, like Joe Sway's talked about this a million times, like he had against the Lakers in L.A., or like he had against Brooklyn this year when they went out, where he does everything, where he has a monster game, and everyone's like, Jason Tatum doing everything they can to keep them in the game. The question is he satisfied with that, or is he pissed off? And the feeling we've gotten in the locker room, and just based off of, you know, just how it's looked after the game is, Tatum is happy on the result because of his performance here and not killing himself over the loss. And that's happened a couple of times where it's like, well, I did everything. He has a little bit of the, I did everything I could do mentality rather than the, I guess I got to find a way to do more mentality. That's something we've talked about a bit.
He's more happy trending on Twitter than anything.
That's kind of the vibe. And again, I know people are like, oh my God, it's Tatum. Guys, he's only 23. Don't be mean. But that's the vibe I get. I would get this vibe if I weren't a guy covering the Celtics or a person who grew up as a Celtics fan. If I lived in another city and I looked at Tatum, that's what I would think of him. That's what he's interested in. But when they play in Boston, it's not cool to say that about them because it's like, he's a Celtic. But that's the vibe he gives off of that type of NBA player. Those guys exist. It's possible that the Celtics have one. Tatum might be that guy. I don't know. But that's if right now, if you were trying to make a determination, which type of player is he that guy? Or is he the guy? Is he the Butler or the Giannis or the whatever? I think he's more that guy.
And just that whole Kyrie situation, him stomping Lucky and all that, and just how Tatum handled that afterwards. Like a guy like Devin Booker, I truly believe that if Kyrie had did that, in the Suns arena or in their logo, I do believe Devin Booker would have had something to say about it. He's just a way different player. Giannis is too.
That's a great point. That's a great point, man. It's a pride thing, right? It's a pride thing. Like Devin Booker is always repping Suns. Like he's always been like, no, this is my team. Yeah. This is my, you know, like it's a pride thing.
Again, sure. I have to jump in here because I know there's people in the chat saying this about Boston media being tough. Boston media is the biggest bunch of friggin' pussycats you'll ever see. There is no more supportive bubble than the Celtics beat and the coverage that these guys get right now. They are absolute. People make every excuse for them. They are coddled. They are, and they're treated as if they are above reproach. This notion
right.
that Celtics, that Boston media is negative,
well, John, people,
is
people think about the
freaking ludicrous. 99.9% of the ink spilled talking about these guys is gushing over them. Everybody, just grow up a little bit. It's okay to be critical. It's not looking for excuse. It's not trying to trash people. It just is. Like, it's not, this is not a negative environment for them to be in. Boston is not a negative place, like, any more so than any other place. And the reason it's negative is because people care. You want to go somewhere where people don't care. That's fine. The fans come down to the stands halfway through the second quarter and they don't return until midway through the third. Go fucking play there. And you're not going to have people yelling on the radio. But that's the point, because the expectations are high. So if you're a superstar in this town, the expectations are doubly high. Like, I know some people were born fucking 10 years ago, but like Ted Williams literally almost got run out of this town. Like, this is how it works when you care. You're people are critical of it. People demand more of you. That's part of the passion. That's part of what makes it good, not what makes it bad. So I don't think you're looking at it the right way. Honestly, I really don't think you are.
It's okay
to ask more and to demand more. And when they get there, imagine when Tatum gets there, everyone can say, did a player not evolve? Like, again, are people blind? Paul Pierce was a score, give me the ball, get me my stats guy. Then he went down as one of the greatest Celtics ever. Why? Because he changed. He changed. He got players around him. He changed his style. And then what happened? We celebrated him for changing. But if you'd said early in his career that he was selfish and was just a stat guy and needs to change, everyone would say, how can you say that about him? That's when Tatum does. In 3-4 years, when Tatum does evolve and we celebrate his evolution, that means that the people who were saying he needed to evolve 3 years ago were right. That's how it works. It's okay to criticize. It's okay to point out things that people need to do better. I don't understand people getting all upset about that. I've never understood it. It's not, like I said, it's the Celtics beat literally props these guys up on a pedestal and just, you know, makes it easy for them. They're not, this is not a tough place. The questions they face on a daily basis are not difficult. The scrutiny they get isn't bad. Celtics Twitter is a happy, fun place for the most part. That's like overly supportive. I don't understand it. I really don't. Anyway, rant over. Megan, what's going on?
That was good. Yeah. That was good.
No, I agree with say. I was also say to touch real quick before my question. I don't really sense, well, especially last season, much Celtics pride from this team. Like, not too many guys have Celtics pride, I believe, or prideful to be on the Celtics. Like, they will talk about it in the media, right? Like how, you know, they see the banners and stuff. But it doesn't show on the court, or it doesn't show, like you said, instances after the game like that. Now my question is, now it's the off season, and I came in late. I had a late flight, so sorry about that. That now the off season's coming up, so if you already had this question, excuse me, but we're gonna hear with we already heard trade rumors with Murray from the Spurs, Collis Sexton, and Chris Paul. Now I know that's probably unrealistic. I feel like that would be a perfect fit, but probably unrealistic. Would you entertain any point guard available, or any point guard that would become available this off season over Bradley Beal? Because to me, like, if we get Bradley Beal, like, you guys know I'm not a fan of this, I feel like we'll just be a poor man's Nets, basically. I don't think we'll be better than them. I think we'll just be a poor version of them. We will have no debt because we had to, you know, free up all the space to sign Beal. We will have we'll probably lose Marcus Smart, because we'll probably have poor perimeter defense, and it will just be three stars. Whereas if we go after, I'm a fan of Murray, I know we won't probably have the best backcourt scoring, but we'll have the best backcourt defense, which will probably pay off playing a team like the Nets. What do you guys think?
I think poor man's Nets is a terrific comparison for what they would be if they got Beal.
Yeah, the Nets had a lot of depth.
But that's a really good analogy. I think that's kind of the dilemma.
The Nets had,
you look
Blake
at those
Griffin.
Three and you're like, I mean,
do you want that though?
I mean, he was pretty good by the end.
Do you want to be poor version of a team that you have to
I don't know with? I don't think you do.
No, you don't.
But here's the thing, you need a sliding door scenario. You need to see what would you really need to put the team side by side and say, what would the team be with, you don't know. That's the thing. It's a leap of faith. If you think the players develop around, this is why, again, not doing Beal until the end of next offseason when he can force his way out makes the most sense, or late in the year where you're not paying a premium if he basically says it's Boston or nothing, if he doesn't Anthony Davis and said, that's where I'm going, make it work. Okay, then you can start to figure it out. But you're in the best scenario, I think, possible right now, which is to let it ride and see what you have. If you ride the season out and Romeo and Nesmith and Pritchard and Tatum and Brown take another leap and you're in contention without Beal, then you say, fuck it. No, I'm just going to keep going. Because why would I give
upgrading into the season?
Why would I give more assets up? I'm not doing that. I like this team. So you can actually do that. So I that's why I want to see it. Yeah. You know, you've got this year, which is kind of a bridge year, to see, do you have anything beyond Tatum and Brown? If they don't, they say, screw it. What do you guys want? Let's do it. Let's do the Beal thing, because it's better than the alternative. The problem is, Megan, you don't know if it's better than the alternative. It might not be perfect, but it might be better than the alternative.
But to me, we're losing assets either way, right? Whether we trade for him or we wait for him, because if we wait for him, we're basically giving away Smart. We're not giving away Smart. We're letting Smart go. We're letting Evan Fournier go, and we're probably not extending Robert Williams. Whereas I feel like if we go another route, like I said, if you want to look at, we're not going to outscore, right? We're not going to outscore the Nets, even if we get Beal. Like, their guys are just better shooters. But we can maybe slow them down if we get a guy like Murray, who's under a much cheaper contract, who'll be under a much cheaper contract. We can probably keep two of those three guys I just mentioned. And you don't have to kick the can on a load, which I'm kind of worried about with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. If we keep kicking the can down the road, will they want to stay here? And I don't think so. I think, that we're good. We're always, in the playoffs, but it seems like we're going backwards instead of forward. And I think we just saw the last season, what this team is kind of like. I don't trust Romeo to stay healthy. I don't trust Rob Williams to stay healthy. I don't think that it's going to change this season.
I will not hear Rob slander, but everything else you said about that.
But we got to consider.
Yeah, Rob gets one more year.
Of course, that's enough.
Yeah, I know we could talk about it, John, a little bit, but we have to consider. Like, I'm scared that Brad Stevens is going to trade Rob because of Rob's potential. But at the same time, if he gets injured this season, then I highly doubt they're probably going to re-sign him, especially if they want Beal. And on top of it, his trade value is going to go a lot down, because the question, if he can stay healthy, will probably be answered.
Yeah, but you're going to make the decision before. The extension deadline is the day before the season, I believe, right? Is that right? The day before the opener?
Before the season starts.
Before the season starts. So you have until October, whatever, to make that call. And
they
then
usually don't. That won't be outside the norm for them.
What? No, I think if they do, we'll find out well before then. I think they'll decide it soon in the offseason. That Rob extension will happen in the first couple. It will suit once the league year begins, I believe.
What would the Celtics offer be for him?
That's a tough call. Like I said, is you looked at Capella, who had
– No way.
I'm saying
– going to lowball him like crazy.
I'm saying if you looked at Capella – whose per 36 minutes entering this stage were similar to Rob's, but he was healthier, obviously, had a body of work for longer. It's not a fair comp. I'm just saying his was 14 4 years ago, okay? So to think that Rob's would be any less than $10 million a year,
well,
I
yes,
think
from
is,
his perspective, yeah.
Yeah, I think to think that it's less than 10 would be nuts. I think it's 10 or 12. I think that's about right.
Do you trade high for him, though? Because I do not see that deal happening. I don't see him selling himself short, and I don't see the Celtics taking, especially Brad,
but
taking a flyer.
You don't really have a choice. You're screwed with Rob. If you don't – the best – you have to sign him to that sweetheart deal and say, okay, if he's broken or hurt, you live with it, and it is what it is. But if he gets hurt, I wasn't going to be able to trade him anyway. And if he's really good, I'm screwed, because now I've got to match a massive qualifying offer. So the only thing you can really do is try to get a team friendly deal now. The rest is bad business.
Okay,
you could do like.
That's my opinion. Nine, it's bad business.
If you could do like 8 to 10 million, you maybe do it early because that's movable eventually if you need to, and it might not even get in the way if you could dump Horford eventually. So something like that I think would be feasible and great for the Celtics, especially in the situation you lay out there. But like if you know Rob's going to be asking for that. Yeah, right. The Capella price, which is too high, that'd be more than Fournier probably. And, you know, maybe even more than that. Who knows? Like, you know, he's got some numbers on his side, as you say, John, there, in terms of his importance to the team and his, you know, potential for growth there. And Rob bigs in the NBA are making big money now.
Rob Williams, with his – if he kept his averages and instead of playing 18 or 19, moved up to 27 minutes a game, if he came in next year at 13, 10, and 4 – what do you think he's signing for? What do you think that offer and is healthy all year? What do you think that offer sheet is for? You know, it's big money, you know, like I think you have to do it.
I see him betting on himself, but here's the thing too. We're also forgetting he's coming off the bench. I believe he's coming off the bench and who knows how much I'm trying to think of the center they just brought in. I'm going to say Brown, last name Brown, the guy they just brought in a trade without Horford.
Yeah. Moses Brown.
Yeah. So I see him also getting minutes. So I think his minute reduction is going to take a hit on top of it. So here's bringing back to the main question here. Would you entertain trading Robert Williams, who's probably, you know, the best guy you have that you won't trade outside of Brown and Tatum, right, to bring in one of those point guards for the season, like a Murray? Would you entertain it?
Ooh, I was just thinking about Murray. John. Is he the kind of guy, like, so I think Celtics fans kind of have a delusional view in terms of, like, what it would cost to acquire him, just because he's on a great contract.
Yes.
The Spurs could move him for probably a decent return.
Yes.
Like, they're not taking Marcus Smart for him straight up and, like, you know, probably take a couple
firsts. There is no reason for them to trade him. Zero.
Yeah,
zero.
So I'm saying, would you, his like,
name,
really push
he's the classic name
offer?
Of, like, I don't understand his name coming up at all. He's the classic, like, I want that guy name. But if you look at it from the Spurs perspective, why in the fuck would they get rid of him? Like,
they're listening, I guess. I think they just want to shake up other roster, it seems like.
That doesn't make sense, though. Why would you give away a young piece that's like that has a low salary for anything other than, like, what are you doing that for? Like, what do you want to get in return? Somebody else who's young, an older guy? Like, I don't understand what you need. Some future mid-round picks that don't have a chance to be as good as him? Like, it makes no sense to me. Like, what could Boston possibly give you that puts them in a better position?
Well,
puts that the other franchise in a better
position? Yeah, he's on 3 years deal, so I think he does get ahead of it, because they don't see themselves contending in 3 years, so maybe they're just trying to get, you know, the best value now.
What value could the Celtics offer, though? That's what I think. It's like, what could you even give them?
That's the thing. You have to – it'll be Robert Williams. I mean, given that it's, you know, Greg Popovich loves defensive guys, I would do Robert Williams. And I got a lot of flack on this with Twitter because they thought it was too much. Robert Williams, I'll throw Romeo in. You probably have to give up Peyton and maybe a first round, because I see a lot of competition for Murray.
Well, I just don't know why they would give him up.
It seems like they listen to they're listening for offers for him and, I believe, Derek White.
It's just crazy, though. Like, I just don't...
They're in a middling position, so I think you probably have to throw, like, a bunch of draft picks at them.
But it have to be, like...
I know, I talked... Yeah, I mean, I talked to one of their fans recently who was like, why aren't we doing what the Thunder are doing? Like, eating bad contracts, taking on a million picks. We're stuck in the middle here. So I don't know. Maybe if you offered 3 first round picks, would that get Murray out of there? I don't know.
I would do it, but I would have a question. Would you rather take Murray or Beal? Because I'm, like I said, I'm leaning towards Murray. Because like I said, you can slow down the Nets. You're not going to outscore them. So I'd rather take Murray, have the best defensive backcourt, than trying to outscore.
I do like Murray.
Yeah, I would give you a couple. I would give a couple of firsts. Like, take your pick of Romeo or Nesmith for Murray versus, you know, trading the entire roster for Beal. Because look at it this way. It would be Murray and Fournier and Rob for whatever you give up, essentially, because not doing them would mean losing those. Not doing it might mean losing some of those guys. So, like,
I know, couldn't you do like the holiday package for him? Like, you'd have to really like him and think like that's your third guy. So I think that's what people have to evaluate in terms of like wait, because you're going to overpay for him, right?
Yes.
There's no urgency for the Spurs to move him. So you have to make a very aggressive offer to get him in here. That's how it's going to
be. I don't think you're giving up Rob and blah, 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 but I would throw a pick or two picks and whatever shitty non, you know, impact, you know, like I said, Nesmith Romeo sort of guy. Sure. I mean, those, if you think you're getting a starting caliber player at a position of need, you'll give away a couple of late first round picks in the next couple of drafts, you know, for that. I think you would.
That's why you have to get rid of Rob, though, because I don't think that gets it, because he's going to have a lot of competition for him. And I think Rob's your best, like I said, besides.
I don't think you overpay, because I think Rob has a potential to be a superstar. And, you know, so a star type player. So,
but the thing is, will he be that for the Celtics? Because I'm just not sure with them bringing Al Horford in, bringing Brown in, like, is he going to get the minutes? Can he stay healthy? Is he going to stay here? Like, again, I think Brad showed us with who he gave minutes to. We saw in the season, that's who he favors versus not favors. And I just don't think Brad's a big fan of Robert Williams based off how he played them. On top of that, again, with him coming off the bench, it looks like, I think we're going to limit his capabilities, basically. I don't think we're going
to. I think you have to see Rob one more time before you.
But, like, what are the Spurs trying to do here? Why would they trade? Are they trading for future assets? Are they trading for, like,
Marcus?
Are they trading for Marcus Smart?
No, I think they go younger. I think they go on future assets. I think they know they're probably not contending in the 3 years, so they just want to get ahead of it. Kind of like the Thunder or the Pelicans, what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm not giving up.
The only thing is, if they were going to do something like that, they would have already done it, because they've been in the same place for, like, 3 years now. Maybe Popovich is the only guy standing in the way of that, just because they want to keep contending under him.
I'm not giving up, Rob. Just not doing it. Let's bring in Marcus. Marcus, you there?
Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, sorry.
How are you?
Oh, fine. We are going back lockdown again in Singapore, so...
I know we wanted to get Singapore involvement in the show. So how are you? Welcome back.
He wasn't expecting this at all. You threw him off.
Because I thought no chance to tolerate for today. So I was shocked that I get to speak.
No! I had you queued up, but yeah, I'm glad you got through. What do you got on your mind?
Basically, I'm more. I am in agreement with you that we should just stand back and then just look at how the young guys develop, because the chance for us to go all in is already passed since I think when we have Kyrie and we didn't trade Rozier and all to improve the squad mid-season. Right now is not the time for us to go all in. And then, so my thinking is we should save the cap for Bill to sign him as a free agent. And then maybe we can trade Brown then for another piece instead of keeping all Bill, Brown, and Tatum together. Hello?
Well, about them, you mean succeeding together?
I like that. I never thought.
Yeah. Hold on. I got some issues with my phone. Can anyone hear me?
Yeah, we got you, man.
Yeah, there's no sound, man. So I thought no one had some issue of mine. That's why. So the other pieces
hold on. I did want to say there, that is an interesting proposal, because for the people who are worried, and we talked about this earlier, and Megan pointed it out, that a team with these guys would be, you know, one, you've got redundancies, because it's three similar players who you know, kind of create their own shot and like to have the ball in their hand. But beyond that, you know, like being Nets light, that is one thing that hasn't been discussed is you bring in Beal to ensure that Tatum is happy, and then you look to flip Jalen for a player that better fits and complements those two pieces. So now they become the core, and you go get, I'm not saying Towns, but like Towns, you know, like
yeah, that was what I was thinking also.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's just a name that's come up. I don't know that that's the right fit. And I don't want the chat to fill up with, I would never do Brown for Towns. I'm not saying do that. I'm saying a player in a different position or a player who impacts the game in a different way, who's of Jalen's caliber. Is that possible? Yeah, that would be possible. And yeah. I don't think that's beyond the realm of possibility.
No, not at all. Because if you know, if you're Jalen, like we talked about earlier, you're like, wait a minute, I'm third fiddle now. How does he feel about that? You know, coming off an All-Star appearance, you know, yeah, that's interesting.
And that's the thing is, if you have the three stars, then you know, then you can mold the team a little bit differently. You know, and again, Brown at his contract a year from now is a massively valuable asset. You know. For a lot of different teams. So, I mean, you could do a lot of different things there if that were your decision. I wouldn't be stunned because if you're putting all your eggs in the Tatum basket and you're like, I got to keep him happy, you know, getting Beal here locks Tatum up for, you know, forever, theoretically, because you bring Beal in, you sign him long term, and then Tatum re-ups to stay with Beal. So they're here, you know, and then you don't have to worry about that anymore. So that's possible. I think that's possible.
Yeah, I think I actually saw that too on CLNS. That someone entertained, or one of the podcasts entertained the idea of who would be the next Celtics big three. Would it have Jalen? Would it include Jalen Brown, or would you maybe trade Jalen Brown? You get Tatum, Beal, maybe get Jalen Brown, or would you get Damian Lillard? Just because, like, when you say Karl Anthony Towns, I know that's not exactly who you meant. That's pinpointing that, but I start thinking about. What other bigs are there in the league that you would want to trade for that's available, that would probably be available? And I'm not sure.
No, but I do think a point guard would make sense. Like, I wouldn't do the big because Rob's my big, and I think he's fine. I don't think you're going to get – I think you're fine. Okay. I've got a big, and he's and his name is Rob, and he's and we're fine.
Why are you trying to take Rob out of the picture?
I don't want Cat because I don't want people taking Rob's minutes away. So yes, a point guard makes sense. Would a big three of Lillard, Beal, and Tatum be different than Brown? Maybe, yeah, because you're right. You have a point guard in that mix, and you know you can bump Tatum down. You can keep Tatum at the three in that scenario, and you have that 1-2-3 combo. It's interesting. It's interesting. But, yeah, who knows? That could potentially happen. Guys, final thoughts here. We're going to wrap it up. We said we were going to go, we've gone well past an hour, so we're going to wrap it.
I want to say one more thing real quick, John.
Go for it.
I was going to say another thing everybody need to watch out for is Mark Spears put out today that the Lakers are interested in with Westbrook and a sign and trade, and Westbrook is in a
role. Yeah.
So if Westbrook ends up leaving Washington, this just makes the Beal thing even more realistic. And also, you got to look at Spears also said, or it could be Chris Paul in a sign and trade. If Chris Paul leaves, maybe Devin Booker is available. Maybe he acts out from the Suns then.
Yeah, I mean, that would be
something to watch.
A lot of dominoes to fall, but you're right. I mean, the team there, a lot of movement could create a lot of scenarios we haven't even thought of yet. So yeah, there's definitely, you never know, right? You never know where a lot of this stuff would go. I was going to wrap it, and then I saw Chris popped in the room. So Chris, I'll give you last crack at this.
What's going on, guys?
What's happening?
seems like I popped in at the right moment.
Yeah.
But why do I always come in at the worst time about Jalen Brown? Come on, guys. I thought we were past this. I thought we already figured this out. Y'all trying to ship him out, trying to get him out of here. He can't play. We need to flip him to somebody else.
Still on that bullshit.
Right? Let me catch you up. Chris, let me give you the Cliff's Notes version. We spent time beating on Jason Tatum a little bit. You know, and not Jalen. Then most of the group had agreed, I don't think we're down with Lillard deal because we don't want to give up Brown. So he survived that conversation. But then our man Marcus from Singapore jumps in and he says, well, what if they trade for what if they acquire Beal next offseason and then ship Brown? And everyone said, that's not the worst idea in the world. So that's how we got there. But we're not trying to move Jalen. We're saying if you had a team that was Beal, Tatum, and Brown, that's a lot of redundancies there. So it would make sense to move somebody for a position of need.
That's true, but we haven't seen it yet. So you never know, right? Why are we being so pessimistic? It's like,
what we're we're simply saying there's conversations to be had and possibilities to be explored. That's all we're saying. No one is trying to move.
Beal, all right.
Anyway, what else is on your mind, Chris?
I just find it interesting just because, like, social media, the media, just everyone sometimes try to speak things into existence, right? Because words have power in a sense, well, I believe, right? Last year, everyone was trying to put Giannis on a different team, like, oh, he's going to play here. He needs to be traded. He needs to ask out, da 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 da. And look what happened. Like, everyone should eat crow for doing that. It's like the guy stayed, signed, re-signed, and look what happened. He won a championship. So I think we need to be a little careful and mindful that sometimes you can be proven wrong. Like, it's a perfect example of a guy who wanted to thug it out in Milwaukee, and he got rewarded with a championship with hard work. What if he can win here? What if he stays and wins? Like, you never know.
It's not. Like I said, I think, Chris, a lot of this is born from just kind of, you know, too many younger Celtics fans have lived through a couple of very quick fix solutions that came about in the last, you know, if you're 20 something years old, you've seen the team go through an extreme makeover twice in a very short period of time. And so you see something that you don't like what we saw last year, and everyone's like, fix it. So you're going to throw out every fucking ridiculous scenario known to man and just wonder whether that's going to magically make everything better. You know, I don't know that it necessarily does, but I think that's why everything is on the table now, because you're like, oh, God, I just don't want to see Semi and Grant anymore. So can we do something about that?
Which is completely fair.
They also already made two drastic changes. You know, new coach, new GM. So you would stand to reason that something else fairly significant would follow, and it did with the Kemba trade. So like the
big
swings of.
Well, can I want to touch on that real quick with the Giannis? Because Jalen Brown's actually one of my favorite players. So I love the idea of rather keeping him than, you know, trading him or let him go. But at the same time, like, Giannis has been outspoken about wanting to win a championship and staying with Milwaukee, which I don't get the same vibe from our stars. Yeah, so.
But you can't say that about Jason.
Really? That's interesting.
It's not cool to say that about Tatum, but you don't hear him talk about the organization, the this, the that, my teammates. There's not a lot of, like, if he didn't have a little green leprechaun in his, you know, whatever, you wouldn't know necessarily he was a Celtic. If you just followed him in the off season, you'd be like, oh, this guy plays basketball for a living. You have no idea he plays for the Celtics.
You're talking about Jason?
I'm gonna try to use one of your metaphors here. Kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just he's a little flirty, right? You know? Like, yeah. He's a Celtic, but he flirts. You know what I mean?
But you guys are talking about Jason or
Jason?
Jason. He's, you know, he's creeping in people's DMs. You know, he's friends with everybody. Like,
to be fair about the Giannis.
Yeah, he's
thing,
the, like, he, how about this one, Josue? He's on LinkedIn and he works somewhere, but he's also put in his profile for recruiters that he's available. You know, right? That, like, he's got in his profile that he's actively seeking employment. Right. You know, that's kind of the vibe
that
I get.
That classic line, like, oh, you just always got to keep your options open. You know, you never know.
But to be fair, real quick with the Giannis thing, though, like, the way he was brought up and how he came to America, like, that's like the Bucks is all he knows, like, type of thing. So there's a sense of, like, loyalty to them, because they gave him all that money, Yeah, exactly. Like, they didn't have, they gave him all that money when he wasn't really proven and stuff like that. Like, he literally grew up with nothing. So it's kind of different with Jason Tatum, with how he's always been good. With Giannis, he just, like, picked this up and he got, like, a max deal, MVPs, all this stuff. Like, it's I think it's, like, surreal to him in a sense. Where with Jason Tatum, like, he expects to get.
We talked about that on our show a little bit. It's like the difference between growing up in AAU culture and like a dirt poor immigrant in a foreign country where the country's not really welcoming you and you're worried about being deported and you're not even made a citizen until you're 19 and you have nothing. And
right,
you know,
like fuck basketball. Yeah. Like,
you're right. You work. You're literally. With that.
Right. Yeah, they
different mindset. Different.
Yeah, right. Giannis had a quote where he said, I think it was at the game 5 with LeBron on the sideline. And he was like, when LeBron was at his first finals, I wasn't even playing basketball. Like, I was like on the street. And that's just like so crazy because I was like 10 years ago. Right. So it's just like puts it in perspective. Right.
So different, you know, the humble beginnings and all of that. And it's hard to compare to that. You know, most people are more like Tatum than they are like Brown, which is, you know, they didn't grow up with a lot either, but they grew up in a culture, you know, or, you know, where they were celebrated and put on a pedestal at a very young age. And so Tatum's known he was destined for something bigger for a very long time. And a lot of NBA superstars are with the AAU culture. So it's a different mentality when you're entering the league. You know, these guys are all pals already. You know, I mean, half of these alliances are made, you know, through their AAU connections, you know, when they're, you know, teenagers. So it's not... Yeah, it's definitely not unique to Tatum.
And Giannis does have an amazing story, but even outside of Giannis, I mean, we hear guys all the time, you know, say they want to stay with their teams or, like, they want to win a championship with their team. Like, Beal even committed, even though, you know, we don't think that's going to last, you know, Beal even said he would love to stay, you know, with Damian Lillard, you know what I mean? So
you don't hear it a lot. You don't hear it a lot from Tatum.
That's true. You don't hear it. But the thing is, we mentioned, like, maybe it's not in his character, but – I mean, he reps Duke pretty hard, though. Like, I know he played for Duke because he talked all the time. So it's there. It's just, is it there with the Celtics, I think?
I don't know. That's the whole thing is, like, when we're critical of, like, stuff Tatum says, it's not like it's the worst thing in the world. It's you just wish he said something different. Like, you'd love – it's not wrong, but you'd love if he was like, this is the only place I want to be. If you heard that once, you'd feel a little better, right? But nobody here knows, like, is he a flight risk? If you don't do something, if you don't trade Beal, is he gone? Like, you don't know. You don't get that vibe. And again, nothing is certain. I mean, Kyrie says, you know, makes a fucking commercial about wanting to get his name in the his number in the rafters. And then, you know, 2 months later, he's out the door. So you don't really know. But yeah, you'd like to get more vibes of like, you know, that's why we always talk about Jalen and Jason and, like, you know, it seems like stupid media narratives, but, like, yeah, do they have to be best friends? No. Would it help? Definitely. Like, if they were boys and inseparable and could never imagine playing a part, you know, like the Middleton-Giannis vibes were very cool last night, right? You know, like this idea of doing it together and X, Y, and Z. Like, you'd love to think that, like, as important as it is to win for these guys, it's as important to win together. All of that stuff would make you feel better about them here. But you don't know. You don't know if they have any loyalty to you, which is, you know, again, so strange that people are so blindly loyal to them. You know, I don't know. I mean, I get the sense Jalen wants to be here. I don't know. I really don't know. It's a good point, Megan. You know, we don't know for sure. Chris, what else before we wrap it?
Nothing really. That was a good point you made about Jason. I guess I have to pay a little bit more attention to that. With his quotes and stuff.
He's always done that. He does it a lot and he doesn't give a lot of love. You know, you don't see a lot of like that's my boy and like even stuff with his teammates, you know, like you just don't see tons of it. Really ever.
Really, it could be like to put pressure on the organization. I don't know. Like it could be, a lot of things.
Yeah. I just saw a sign too. Cause I think a guy named Matt just brought up in the chat. It's cause it's business. And with having Danny Ainge as a GM and, you know, having his name in rumors early on in his career, do you think that played a factor of him? Like you consider it's a business standpoint. Maybe he's not trying to get tied in too much.
Jalen signed, you know, I mean, he signed, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We signed. I'm saying maybe is that why he doesn't, like, show too much? Because maybe he just looks at his business.
I don't know. You wonder how much, like, hearing your name coming up. Like, Jalen, Chris just walked into it, and he's like, God damn it, they're talking about trading Jalen again. You're right. It comes up a lot. I don't know if that bugs him. But from Tatum's perspective, I've just never gotten that vibe from him. Like, he's got Laker written all over him, you know, like, and that's always been a fear. So, you know, I do think people are, like, panicking a little bit, thinking, like, you gotta get Beal here and lock him down because he's a flight risk. You know, yeah. So I don't know. But I think ultimately people go to situations as much as they go to destinations. So it's about keeping – this has to be a viable place to play, which is a path to victory. It's where can I get paid? Where can I play with the people I want to play with? And can I win? And if you are still that place when it's time to make that decision, he stays. If you're not, he goes. You know, I don't think he goes just for a change of scenery. Like, you're not leaving a good situation here just to go somewhere else because you want to play where it's sunny. But I mean, shit, I don't know. Kawhi did it. He left a championship team. So I don't know. You really don't know. All right, we've been going a bit, guys. So one thing I wanted to say, and Ahmed, if you could put this in the chat again, for whoever's left here and wasn't on our YouTube show earlier, we had comedian J.L. Coven on the show, and if people don't know him, he's the best Trump impersonator in the world, but he's also just a phenomenal stand-up comic. And he is going to he's going to be at the City Winery in Boston on Monday night at 8 o'clock. And again, Ahmed, I'm not sure if you're still with us, but if you are, throw it in the chat. There's a place you can get tickets. Bang. There he is right there in the chat. You can get tickets and go see the comedy show again, Monday, 8 o'clock. Maybe you think it's a perk, maybe not, but you can come there and tell us, you can meet Bobby, which I think is a big deal. And Nick will be there too. I'll be there. Joe Sway, I believe, possibly Sherrod.
Yes, you know, I'll be there, man. I love coming.
Yeah. Come meet us and have a drink, or you can come tell us that we're, you know, dumb as shit. Matt, our takes are bad. I don't mind. You know,
maybe Max shows up.
Yeah, I might have to. Yeah, I'll talk to him about it. See if I can get Max down.
Yeah, but you know, you can talk about the 45 pick with Bobby, or you can talk about the 1981 Celtics with Nick. you know, we'll see if Max is there. Max is always a good draw, so that would be great. Oh, and Megan also put up today's YouTube show. Thank you, Megan. In case anybody missed it and wants to see JL on the show again, he's incredibly freaking funny guy. Also pretty knowledgeable basketball fan. He played ball at Williams. You know, he was on the show talking hoops with us as well. So go check out that show if you want. That's in the chat right now, but definitely come to the show. There's a few tickets left, mostly sold out, I believe, but there's a few tickets left. So like I said, you want to see some good comedy, you want to hang out, in a really cool spot, in Boston, on Monday, and you want to meet some of the gang, come hang out with us, would be fun. So, thank you for that, guys. Any final thoughts before we close?
I got nothing.
You got nothing. Well, okay.
We'll see. Pull up on Monday.
Pull up on Monday. We'll see you Monday.
Next week should be fun.
Programming notes, things will pick up. We've been spinning our wheels now for a month and a half because the conversation around the Celtics hasn't really changed tremendously. Obviously, you know, we've had the major-ish news things with Danny and with Brad and with Kemba and then with Ime. So we've had a few things happen already, but things are really going to start to heat up. We've got the draft and free agency begins, and you're going to have a really good idea about the direction of this organization. So we'll do something on draft night. Then the following week on Monday, 6 p.m. is free agency. We will be live leading up to free agency and talk about everything that's going on. We may get some news immediately right out of the gate there on Fournier and other things. So we'll see about that. So just, you know, follow us on Twitter, follow all of our individual handles here on Green Room as well. We'll let you know, follow Celtics CLNS on Twitter. That'll alert you when we do go live. But look for us next week in and around draft time. And of course, if there's any major news, we'll also be doing some stuff in and around the Olympics as those games get started. But don't expect us to be doing true post-game shows when they're tipping off at like 3 a.m. and stuff. So, but we will be doing some stuff there.
And
so,
we're in the summer league.
And then Summer League is going to be lit. It is. It's going to be fun because we're going to see some. Well, I mean, you want to see Romeo. You want to see Neesmith. You want to see everyone freaking out because they want to see Yam. So it should be good. But yeah. Stay tuned for more programming notes. But otherwise, go check out the comedy show on Monday. I hope to see a bunch of you guys there. If not, we'll see you guys back here on YouTube and Green Room next week. Good night, all.